You know, Lorraine, we sometimes flick through channels on TV or Netflix and we sort of say, oh, seen it. And I guess we can all relate to that. And it can be a little bit like that with Easter. You know, we can say, we can be a little bit too blasé, a little bit too familiar with the story. We've heard it all before. But in doing so, we miss out on the darkest and yet most glorious event in history. And ultimately, victory for us is found at the foot of the cross. This is God's perfect story of redemption. And it needs no other angle to highlight it. We need to repeat it over and over again. To highlight the tragedy and the victory of Easter. For us Christians, Easter is the most holy time of the year. So the story of Easter actually starts right back at the beginning of creation in Genesis chapter 3, where God said to Satan that Adam's offspring would crush his head, but he would bruise his heel. This was a prophecy that one day someone would come and defeat Satan, but in the process he would be bruised. Right from creation, God had set a plan in place to destroy the power of sin through Jesus. As we come to Easter, let us reflect on what happened on that Friday. Let us reflect on what happened to Jesus. These events also are verified outside the Bible in other secular texts. So we come to the trial. As David spoke last week, about midnight, Jesus was arrested and illegally tried, as we heard. The trial was illegal because there were many false and conflicting witnesses who gave false testimony and lies as evidence. Can you imagine today going to court and having multiple witnesses come forward in the death prosecution of somebody and they all gave different testimony? I mean, there would be no conviction. It would be tossed out. But not so for Jesus. As we know, it was held at night, and we know that no trial was to be held at night. He was falsely charged with blasphemy, and in this darkest of hours, even his own disciples fled out of fear. He was denied by his own disciples. He was betrayed by one of them. He was falsely accused by his own nation. They lied about his testimony. They tried illegally at night, as we know, and abandoned by the people who earlier that week had proclaimed, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And according to Luke 19, now another group shouts, "Crucify him, crucify him." After the trial, we know he was beaten, he was tortured, flogged, whipped, torn, and he came about as near to death as possible under the scourging of the Romans. In Luke's account, in Luke 23, we learn that Jesus was so weak from his beatings and loss of blood that he was not able to carry his own execution cross all the way to Calvary. A Cyrenian by the name of Simon was compelled by the soldiers to help him and carry that cross all the way to Golgotha, where Jesus was nailed to the cross. Then, while he was he hung in agony, an unimaginable agony on the cross, he was mocked, he was ridiculed and scorned by those who hated him. This was despite the fact that under Roman law, said that a person could either be beaten or crucified, but not both. So under Jewish law and under Roman law, he was illegally tried, convicted and punished and sentenced. Jesus died, according to scriptures, around 3 p.m. that afternoon. At the same time, Jews back in Jerusalem were preparing and killing the lambs for the Passover celebration. Jesus became the true Passover lamb. He died for the sins of those who put their trust in him. But for Jewish scholars and teachers of the law, they should have known that this should have happened and would have happened. Because we know that there's Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled on Good Friday. Throughout the Old Testament, there are many, many, many prophecies that point toward the coming Messiah. And long before Jesus walked on earth, the prophets foretold his suffering in remarkable detail. The events of Good Friday were not a tragic accident, but a divine plan woven into Scripture centuries before Jesus' death and birth. We're going to look at just two of these this morning, some that were mentioned in our Bible reading, from Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. These offer undeniable proof of God's foresight and faithfulness. He written over 700 years before Christ, this prophecy from Isaiah describes Jesus' atoning sacrifice with breathtaking accuracy. From Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, and we've seen that over and again, he was led away, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal, and he was put in a rich man's grave. The words pierced and bruised, and the whole of the rest of the chapter of Isaiah 53 echo the brutal reality of crucifixion, a form of execution unknown in Isaiah's day. It was a Roman torture and execution. Yet God revealed to Isaiah the suffering Messiah who would bear the punishment for our sins, bringing peace and healing to humanity. There are so many references in Isaiah 53 that can only refer to Jesus. Another prophecy about the crucifixion is found in Psalm 22. It says this: dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet, all my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. King David penned these words nearly 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified. The imagery is striking. Hands and feet pierced, bones exposed from torture and beating, soldiers gambling for the clothing. Details fulfilled precisely on the cross. In Matthew 27, We find this, when they crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. These passages, and this is just two of them, remind us that there was never a plan B. This was God's plan from creation. This was his way of bringing us back to him. It was a fulfillment of the promises God had made to redeem mankind. Every detail about Christ's wounds to the casting of lots was spoken long before it happened, proving that our faith is not based on myth, but on a sovereign God who keeps his word. I'm indebted to Bible Inspired for giving me some information on this. Jesus' final words on the cross were not random expressions of pain. They were intentional, each carrying deep spiritual significance. These seven statements are known as the seven last words. They reveal his heart for humanity and provide a powerful guide for our own faith journey. The first one he said, well, we know of, woman, here is your son. Even in agony, Jesus cared for his mother. And he entrusted her to the Apostle John. This reminds us that faith is lived out in relationships as well. Love is more than words, it is actions. Do we show Christ-like love to those in our care? He also said, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. That's found in Luke 23. A dying thief, undeserving by every standard, received eternal life in a moment of faith. He did nothing to earn God's grace. He simply believed that Jesus was who he said he was. Salvation is never earned. It is a gift of God's grace. Have you embraced God's grace? Or are you still trying to earn your way to heaven by doing good stuff? Good things are important, and Christians are implored to do them, but it is not what will get you into a relationship with God. Jesus also said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is found also in Luke 23. As nails pierced his hands and his feet, Jesus' words were not of condemnation, but of mercy. He interceded for those who were crucifying him, showing us that true forgiveness extends even to our worst enemies. There's nothing so bad that you can do in your life that God is not willing to forgive you for, if you'd only put your trust in him. No matter what we might have done in our life, nothing compares to nailing God's only Son to the cross. Yet Jesus sought forgiveness from the Father. God asks you to come to him for forgiveness. Jesus also said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this cry reminds us that Jesus fully entered into human suffering. He knows what it is to feel alone and to feel pain, making him the perfect mediator for our struggles. Jesus bore the full weight of sin, experiencing the separation from God that we deserved. He understands our pain and never abandons us in our suffering. Jesus was forsaken by the Father because God cannot look upon sin, and Jesus became sin for us. This was a culmination of his mission, where he endured divine judgment so that we might never have to. Do we blame God when things don't go well for us? Humanly speaking, wasn't going too good for Jesus. There is no suffering or pain that we can go through that is as bad as what Jesus experienced. Are you willing to trust God, even if you feel God is not near you? Jesus also said, I thirst. Jesus, the living water, experienced physical thirst, a sign of his complete humanity. The Bible says that Jesus experienced everything as we have, yet he didn't sin. He knows the struggles of life. And you can bring your human weaknesses to Jesus, knowing that he understands. Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. These are not the words of defeat, but they are the words of completion. The Greek phrase, tetelestai, means paid in full, signifying that the debt of sin had been fully satisfied. The work of redemption was done. Our way of salvation is complete. It was finished. No one took his life from him. He surrendered it on the cross. What seemed like a defeated ending was actually the greatest victory in heaven, in history. Do you know the redemption of sins that Jesus offers you? Are you living a victorious life through Christ's finished work? And then we, in our reading, and also in Luke 23, it says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. His final words were a declaration of trust. He willingly gave his life, knowing his Father's plan was good. Jesus put his total trust in the Father. Jesus died so that we might be able to come to the Father. It's because of what he did on the cross. Jesus declared in this statement that our bodies are mortal, but our souls are immortal. That's why he committed his spirit to God. We will live forever. The question is where? Have you fully surrendered your will and your life to God? Which is what Jesus did. It is only through the death and resurrection of Jesus that we can have the forgiveness of sins. The message of Good Friday is a simple but also very complex one. The death of Jesus is unfathomably unfair in every human sense. But God knew what was needed to redeem mankind. God planned a way of salvation for us right from the beginning of creation. God prophesied the details of crucifixion hundreds of years before Jesus came onto the earth. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for each of our sins. Jesus, fully man and fully God, died an agonizing death in our place. Do you know the forgiveness that comes through his finished work on the cross? In a few minutes, Harrison's going to lead us in a time of communion. And as he does, please take this time to reflect on everything that Jesus went through and everything he did for us on the cross. There is no plan B for salvation. There is no other way, the scripture says. God knew what was needed for our salvation, and Jesus fulfilled every aspect of that. That is why he could say, it is finished. This time, over this whole weekend, we need to reflect on what Jesus did for us. God's work of forgiveness was fulfilled at the cross. Good Friday reminds us that his suffering was the price of our victory. That's why it's called Good Friday, from our point of view. My prayer is that everyone here today would know the love and sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus, who gave up everything for us. And Father, we praise you. And we praise the Lord Jesus for his death on the cross. And Father, as we go to this time of communion, Lord, we pray that you would meet with us. Touch our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.